Okay, Jesus point out two kinds of bread or food in today's Bible passage. John 6:25-40. Prior this passage, a big multitude of people had been following Jesus, listening to his teaching and observing his miracles. Jesus had tried to get away to rest, but the needs of the crowd pressed on him, and Jesus had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. There the disciples had no idea where to get enough food for them. Jesus performed a miracle which is recorded in all four Gospels. He fed 5,000 people by multiplying 5 bread and 2 fish. Wow, what an impressive miracle worker Jesus is. Can you do miracle like that? I certainly cannot. My question is, do you believe that Jesus could make this kind of miracle to satisfy people's need? If you were there, how would you feel? Will you believe in him? Today's passage is a dialogue between Jesus and some people of the multitude Jesus fed the previous day. Let's read aloud together John 6:25-40. Ready? Go. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what signs do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then said to them, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, by the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So, in this passage, Jesus teaches us, labor not for the perishable, but prioritize the imperishable. Okay. So when the crowds found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they are naturally curious about how he had got across the lake, because they knew that Jesus had not gone into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away by themselves. You see, they addressed Jesus as Rabbi. They acknowledge him as teacher, though they are about to dispute his teaching. They ask Jesus, "When did you get there? Or how long have you been there?" Did Jesus answer their question? No, Jesus did not answer their question. But Jesus replied, bluntly asserting that they had not seen signs that had merely eaten the food that finished their hungry stomach, that satisfied their hungry stomachs. That is to say, they had not seen beyond the miracle to its real meaning. What followed shows that miracles cannot lead to genuine faith. Miracles cannot lead to genuine faith. Jesus questioned their motives in looking for him. Their pursuit to him was not because they saw miracle signs, signs that pointed to the gospel itself, to Jesus himself, but they pursued Jesus for crasser motives. How about you today? What is your motive you come to church? Is it because you want to enjoy the air conditioner here? Or is it because you want to see your friends? Or you come to church because you want to know what God wants to say to you today? I remember one day when I was walking on the street toward church fellowship, I felt so tired that I was struggling if I could go back home for rest instead of going to church. So I cried out to God. I said, "God, I have no more energy. If I come to church today, I want to see your glory and be fully charged." And that evening, I was encouraged and strengthened by a great life-transformed testimony. I did not regret that I went to fellowship that night. I was so uplifted and so thankful, because I did not go home with nothing but with fully charged spirit. Okay, the meaning of the miracles now emerge in Jesus' reference to two kinds of food. One is perishable, and the other that endures to eternal life. As in verse 27 said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." These people seek after Jesus, the miracle worker who can satisfy their stomachs with bread. Jesus knows their purely materialistic notions. So he tells them not to work for food that spoils. He tells them not to spend all their time and energy seeking perishable things. Those are just temporal satisfaction. Jesus urges them to work for the food that endures to eternal life. If they work for the food that endures to eternal life, they should know that only the Son of Man can give it. Jesus is the only God, certified and authorized Son who alone can give this food. This is not simply working for salvation. This does not imply working for salvation, because the work is later explained in verse 29 as to believe in the one whom the Father sent. Eternal life is not something to be achieved, but received by faith in Christ. Eternal life is not something to be achieved, but received by faith in Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How many good works you did this year? Did you feel you are a better Christian in a higher level? If you have done something wrong just before you die, will you be able to go to heaven? Well, if you have this kind of question, please come to talk to me or Pastor Jeffrey. Okay, verse 28 to 29. The crowd said, "What must we do to be doing works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." The crowd asked Jesus what work God requires. They misunderstand the thrust of Jesus' prohibition. They miss the point that eternal life is Jesus' gift. Eternal life is Jesus' gift. They were still thinking of achieving it by religious work. They respond by focusing all attention on work. So Jesus sets them straight that what God requires is faith. Believing in Jesus Christ is the indispensable required work God called for, by they must believe in the one God has sent, the one that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the one who revealed God to us. Jesus is the one who revealed God to us. He has been in the courts of heaven and has been sent from the courts of heaven in order that people might be saved through him. So verse 30 to 31. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, what we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as in it's written, he had them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus told them the work of God is to believe in the one who he has sent. In response, they want to see what signs Jesus would do to validate, to claim. The crowd probably reasoned that Jesus had done little compared to Moses. Jesus had fed 5,000 people, but Moses had fed a nation. Jesus did once, but Moses did it for 40 years. Jesus gave ordinary bread for them to eat, but Moses gave bread from heaven. For these reasons, they demand more spectacular signs from this prophet like Moses. Let's see. Verse 32 to 34. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, It is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here is a critical moment in the dialogue. Jesus corrects them that Moses did not give bread from heaven. The manna in the desert did not come from Moses, but from God. And the Father back then is still giving them true bread. And that bread is a person who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world through the Son, which is much more important than manna. Here Jesus immediately identifies the bread of God who come down from heaven. In verse 33, refers to Jesus himself. The manna of food they ate perish with time. Food that we eat perish with time. And the people who ate perish with time as well. This reminds us that this bread of God is the revealer. Jesus reveals God to us. He is the one who can tell us heavenly things. And because he is the obedient Son, his word is nothing less than the words of God. Okay, this table, I made it, but after I made it, I feel regret to make this, because how can manna compare with Jesus Christ? I hate him, but I had made it, so I will just show you a little bit. Let's have a look at this table. Food of manna from heaven and compare with the manna and Jesus. Manna is a kind of food, but Jesus is a person. Manna is temporal, Jesus is eternal. Manna is perishable, Jesus is imperishable. Manna is good for body, Jesus is good for eternal life. Manna is just created thing and has no life, but Jesus is God, the creator who gives life. So which one is more important? In verse 34, they said, "Sir, give us the bread, this kind of bread every day." And the crowd seems having another misunderstanding. They cannot understand his sign previously. And now they still not understand his words. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well who said, "Sir, give me this water." And also Nicodemus. Their minds run along materialistic lines. This verse. Let's read together this one. Ready, go. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So Jesus immediately declared, "I am the bread of life." This is the first of seven self-descriptions of Jesus introduced by "I am." Yes, this one. The seven metaphorical "I am" statement. So Jesus said, "I am the light, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth and the life, I am true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser." So in Greek, "I am" ego eimi. The words are solemnly emphatic and echo Exodus 3:14. "I am" is a name by which God wishes to be known and worshipped in Israel. This is the name that expressed his character as the dependable and faithful God who desires the full trust of his people. This is the name, I Am, that expresses his character, God's character, as the dependable and faithful God who desires the full trust of his people. Jesus applies the phrase I Am to himself, claiming himself to be God, and risks being stoned for blasphemy. I am the bread of life, metaphorical saying, and it's repeated in verse 48. Jesus said, I'm the bread, okay. And then in this clarifies the intent of his warning in verse 27. Do not work. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures eternal life, which is the Son of Man. Brother Jesus has come to me, believes in me as the bread given by God. Jesus declared that he is the bread of from heaven for eternal life in the kingdom of God. Please do not misunderstand. Jesus is not telling us to be lazy or abandon our daily work to provide daily bread. Jesus meant one cannot just live on daily food alone. But as written in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the crowd looked blankly to Jesus. Despite of Jesus' inviting words, even though they have seen Jesus' miraculous work, they did not see the sign. They had heard what Jesus said, but their faith has not been aroused. Their faith has not been aroused. How about you? How about me? Their faith has not been aroused. So Jesus said to them this, but I had said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So Jesus said, he will not cast out anyone. If you think, just for example, you are a bad guy, do you think Jesus will reject you? If you see someone is a bad guy, do you think Jesus will reject him? Do you reject him? Do you reject the bad guy? God's action is primary in salvation for all mankind, and Jesus' love is unfailing. He will never reject those sent to him. Jesus has repeated the phrase, I have come down from heaven, 7 times in this chapter, emphasizing the divinity of Jesus' origin. Verse 38 to 40 explain the reason why Jesus will preserve all the people whom the Father has given to him. The purpose of Jesus' incarnation is coming down from heaven to the earth was not to do his own will, to accomplish the will of the Father who sent him. Jesus said in verse 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John often mentions Jesus depended on the Father and did the work the Father sent him to do. Jesus was the sent one who obeyed the Father. The will of God is to lose none of those God had given to the Son. Those who look to the Son and believe in him would have eternal life. The eternal life is more than merely unending life with God. Unending life with God. It is primarily passing over the judgment to acceptance. Passing over the judgment to acceptance. Eternal life means passing over the death to life. Eternal life means passing over death to life. John 5:24 said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And the true believers will persevere. True believers will persevere because Jesus will hold them tight. As stated in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, and I am certain that God who began the good work with you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. True believers will continue stick with Jesus even in the face of difficulty or with little success or no prospect of success. True believers will continue stick with Jesus. Here comes the conclusion, brothers and sisters. Don't so concern about the perishable things like food. Means don't focus on things which is simply temporal and physical. Don't so concern about the perishable things like food. Means don't focus on things which is simply temporal and physical. Focus on the food that endures to eternal life. As King David wrote on Psalm 23, as we just sung, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Only Jesus can give us the imperishable food. Whoever comes to him and believes in him will have imperishable food, imperishable eternal life. And this is the conclusion that Jesus gave himself. Let's read together, okay? John 6:35. Jesus said to them, let's read again, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Matthew 6:25-33. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. My question is, have you seriously received the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ yet? Here's the time for you to glorify God. To your testimony, okay, can glorify God. How many of you have confidence that you have received the gift of eternal life? Please raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone would like to receive the imperishable food, the eternal life today? Today is the best time for you. Is there anyone would like to experience the indwelling Jesus in your life? I would like you to raise your hand. Thank you for your response. Let's have just 1 minute of thoughts and quiet time. Yeah. Let's close our eyes. At this stage of your life, are you living a redeemed life that growing more and more mature in Jesus Christ so that you can share Jesus' love to whom their spirits are in hunger and thirst? Are you living a degenerating life? Are you living a degenerating life? We need to take care of our life through reflection in God's Word. Are you sustaining your life? Are you sustaining your life with imperishable bread for life? We just have a very short moment to scan through our life, which is not enough. We need more time to do reflections, maybe on the bus, maybe in a coffee shop, or before you sleep. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Abba Father, thank you for your love, that you send your only Son from heaven to the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for walking around on this broken, dusty planet for the 3 years so that we might believe in you and have eternal life. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are the bread of life. Help us to grab you tight whenever we are in the storms of life. May your teaching in the Bible transform us and give us strength and comfort. Thank you, Jesus, for dying and then rising from the dead so we could have hope of imperishable eternal life and resurrected imperishable body in the future. May the gratitude for the great love you fill our hearts today. please grant us peace and wisdom to make the right choice and decisions in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.